Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 357th Think Again program. Think Again is produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change for over 28 years, or 29 years, I think. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Jennifer Burrell, your host today. Jacques isn't with us for this program, but we're joined on the line by Dr. Albert Palazzo, who is going to walk us through the terrible AUKUS agreement. Dr. Albert Palazzo is an adjunct professor at UNSW Canberra, and he's an expert in Australian military history and defence policy. In fact, he wrote a book explaining what's wrong with AUKUS and spelling out what Australia needs to do instead. His book is called The Big Fix, Rebuilding Australia's National Security. So Albert Palazzo is well placed to talk about AUKUS. Welcome to the program, Albert.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, and so glad our tech seems to be working as well. Wonderful, because I know you're calling from a country area that's a bit patchy. So to begin with, Albert Palazzo, can you tell us a bit of about the history of Australia's relationship with the US in defence matters?
Well, the relationship really took root in October of 1940. That's before the entry of Japan into the Second World War. The Americans reached out to Australia to establish basing rights on Australian territory so that they could send reinforcements to the Philippines in case of Japanese attack. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. They then, started up air service between across the Pacific to Brisbane, Daly Waters, out to Darwin, and then up to Manila in the Philippines. But what it really got going, though, was after the failure of the Singapore strategy. The British government had always promised that in case of attack by the Japanese, they would send a fleet out to help protect us. And, of course, when the need arose, they said, sorry, we're not coming. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, they were fully engaged fighting the Germans in Europe. And so there was very little to spare. They sent two warships, and these immediately got sunk. Mm-hmm. And so the war strategy, which was based upon a great power protector, was a failure. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing, then after the Second World War, we decided we needed another protector. And the British couldn't do it. And so we turned to the United States, and in 1951, we pretty much insisted on the ANZUS Treaty, and that started this relationship, which has taken us through Vietnam, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and now in Iran, and now also up to AUKUS. And we continue to look to a great power protector instead of believing in ourselves and believing that we can defend our country on our own. And under AUKUS, it's gotten really extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so thank you for that that overview. I'm interested too, ANZUS, of course, we always used to talk about ANZUS, so maybe just before we go on, just sort of explain to listeners, and a lot of our listeners are younger and weren't born when ANZUS was being talked about a lot.
Okay.
So if you could just briefly explain ANZUS as well.
Yeah, so ANZUS is a security treaty between Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. And it came about because of the insistence of Australia and New Zealand. the United States did not want to give us ANZUS. But what they did want was us to agree to a soft treaty at the end of the Second World War. So as the as normality was returning to the Japanese islands, they wanted to re-welcome Japan, and so they wanted to give a relatively soft treaty. And that frightened Australia and New Zealand, and so we insisted that if we were going to sign a soft treaty, we would need protection. Mm-hmm. And that's the origins. Now, ANZUS is a very unusual security agreement. It is one page. It takes about 3 minutes to read.
Whoa.
and commits the United States to do nothing. You know, all the United States has to do is consult along its constitutional mechanisms and decide whether or not they're going to help or not. Mm-hmm. There is no guarantee in the ANZUS treaty. In that sense, it's even worse than the Singapore strategy, because at least the Brits were at least willing to make a guarantee. Mm-hmm. But the Americans have made no guarantee, and that's where, that's our foundation. And it's constantly referred to in Australian government documents as being the foundation of Australian security.
Well, that's just crazy. I
would say it's a foundation built on mud, because mm-hmm. it doesn't really say much. But, it doesn't feel...
Mm. And it's unbelievable. It's one page. Anyone who joins up anything these days has to read 30 pages to get a new
yes.
phone or
whatever. Oh, it's very easy to read. Just look it up, and I encourage all your readers to have a look at it, and they'll see how feeble it is.
Okay, so I think that really provides a good foundation for talking about AUKUS too, that background as well, and some of the characteristics mm-hmm. of ANZUS, as you're suggesting, really have accelerated into the current AUKUS. So now let's talk about yeah. the AUKUS agreement. So that's AUKUS. So I guess that's an acronym of Australia, the United Kingdom and the US agreement, AUKUS?
Yes.
Yeah. So the term AUKUS, is, yes. It's thrown around a lot. We hear it all the time, but it'd probably be helpful if you could just walk us through what it actually means and what it entails.
Yes. Well, AUKUS was announced by then Prime Minister Morrison, Scott Morrison, as a complete surprise to everybody. Mm. Mainly most of the people in his party had never heard about the 2 years of preliminary discussions. It was announced in full form, and the Labor Party was given 24 hours to agree to it, and Anthony Albanese did agree, and so... we now have it as the policy for both major political parties.
Yeah. And can you give us the year or even what year did
that
happen?
It was in September 19th, 2021.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will remember that. Mm.
Oh, yes, yes. But it came out like a bolt from the blue.
Mm.
And the core of it, at least that's what Australians are being told, is the promise that we're going to get 3 used nuclear submarines.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it was supposed to be 2 used and 1 new. Now the Americans unilaterally changed it to 3 used, and they'll be arriving sometime in the 2030s.
Mm.
And that's what the government has been selling us. But I would argue, and I do, that the treaty is not really about the submarines, because for those submarines, what we're also doing is providing the United States with base at HMAS Stirling in Western Australia for them to use for their own submarines.
So starting next year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so starting next year, we will start to see American submarines showing up and living out of Stirling. Mm-hmm. It is in effect an American military base on Australian soil to house American submarines. And that's what this agreement is really about. And that is why the Americans are giving, are enthusiastic about it, because it gives them this base. The submarines, I don't think, are very likely to come up, to actually ever arrive,
mm.
Because why would the Americans give us the submarines, or sell us, I should say, sell us the submarines, when they need them, so many of them, they need them themselves, and they're not building enough for their own needs.
Before going on, I'm just wondering, like, that sounds obviously even, we haven't talked about it much, but it's a crazy deal to sign. So are you talking about what's underpinning it or what it actually articulates clearly? Like, to actually say you can have base in exchange for submarines that we might give to you, that nobody would sign that, would they? What does it actually
it's in the agreement that the United States will start to rotate submarines. They say rotate, but a submarine, and I think there's going to be up to four American and one British, will come out, and we're building housing right now to house the shore workers and their families, and no doubt the submarine crew's families. So the submarine will be here for a normal rotation, which could be 2 or 3 years, and they'll go out on patrols and then come back to the port and then go. So they're basically going to, and then when their tour is done, they'll go home to America and a different submarine will arrive. Mm. And this is what AUKUS is really about, is allowing the Americans to operate. And this is why the Americans are so enthusiastic about it, because this is really a big deal. Having this base answers a lot of their strategic problems regarding projecting power against China.
Mm. So I'll just remind listeners, you're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Today we have Dr. Albert Palazzo from UNSW Canberra on the line, and he's telling us about the terrible AUKUS deal Australia has with the US and what it all means. So can you tell us what are the other issues or problems around AUKUS besides being a really crazily lopsided deal, military bases for the US on Australian soil in exchange for submarines that we might get?
Yes, we may, or unlikely to get. Plus, we're also paying to build this base. I mean, the United States, the Americans aren't building this base. We're building it for them on the Australian money. The deal is very one-sided. Mm-hmm. I frankly don't understand what Morrison was doing when he negotiated it, because we gave away the store. They're accepting a lot more risk, and the Americans are getting all the benefits. And we're spending a lot of money on a defense strategy that basically makes our country into a target. Doing all this. Mm. Yeah, go ahead, Janet.
I was going to say, tell us more about us being a target. Because it's meant to be, this is meant to be for our defense, but you're saying it's putting us in more danger than if we didn't have the deal.
Oh, yes. Yes, this defense policy, the AUKUS agreement, is making Australia's security worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's not making us more secure. It's making us less secure.
And why is that?
Because what is happening is that we're making ourselves a target. We're going to allow, now, this depends, if a war does come about between the U.S. and China, and I absolutely hope it doesn't. I do not want such a war. Let me be clear. But if the United States and China goes to war, they will be operating or projecting force against the Chinese from Australian territory. So these submarines will sail and operate in the Indian Ocean, intercepting or cutting China's line of supply to Middle East oil. They'll be operating in the South China Sea, where at the same time, we will be having American aircraft, bombers, B-52s and B-2s, operating from Tyndall up in the Northern Territory outside of Darwin. And, of course, we also have the Marine unit that's also going to be operating out of Darwin. And I would expect other American assets will pour into other Australian places. So in the Western Australia, we have a remote base that is generally not occupied. It's a backup base. I expect American aircraft will fly into that base, and that will then be and start operating from that. So the Chinese will be very much in the right to destroy these bases.
Because we're a military target, a legitimate, in terms of war, a military target.
We're a legitimate target. Mm-hmm. In fact, because we'll be operating from our shores, we cannot avoid participating in the war ourselves. Like we went into Vietnam and Afghanistan, we will go into this war alongside the Americans. Our Australian Defense Force will, join up with the, our ships will sail with an American task force. Our aircraft will fly under American, instructions. And our, soldiers will serve under in an American organization.
Well,
we can't avoid being in this war.
So what you're describing is Australia and Australia's military defense being under the management of the U.S.
Yes, well, that's what happened in Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. That's what happens when you're a small partner. In Australia is a very small partner. You can't operate on your own, so we will operate as part of an American-led command.
Mm.
And there's no way about that.
Can you tell us a bit about the nuclear dimensions of this?
Well, this is where the insanity of AUKUS really comes through. I mean, we are inviting ourselves to a war between two nuclear-armed opponents. China has plenty of nukes. They have about 600. The United States has about 5,000. And China is building more. So we're now operating or inviting ourselves to a war that features two nuclear-armed opponents. Mm. And the end point of that may be the Chinese might decide to, incinerate Darwin or Fremantle because we've made ourselves into a target.
And
it's a lot safer that for them to do that, to incinerate Darwin, rather than to do it to Honolulu. They wouldn't do it to American soil because that might invite retaliation. Uh-huh. But they might be able to get away with doing it to Australian soil.
Yeah, we're a signatory to an agreement that we have a commitment to the South Pacific being a nuclear-free zone. Isn't that the case?
Yes, we've signed the Treaty of Rarotonga, and we've agreed not to have nuclear weapons in our country and to help build a nuclear-free South Pacific. And undoubtedly what I assume the government will do is that these American submarines or these American ships that will be operating from our shores, they just won't ask them if they've got nuclear weapons on board. Because, if you don't ask, you're not told, and then you can deny any knowledge of it. But you can be fairly certain that some of these American warships will have nuclear weapons on board. I can't say that definitively, because this is the future, and I don't have access to this information. But I think it's a pretty good guess that some of these American vessels will have nuclear warheads on board.
So couldn't we decide to enforce that treaty and just say, no, that's not good enough, we need to know, and you're not coming in our zone if you're nuclear-powered?
Yes, of course we could ask them that, and you would think that our government would ask them that, but our government wants the Americans to be our best friends, and so they will just never ask the question. And if you don't ask, you can always say, well, we don't know.
We don't really care about our treaty. Don't worry if you're violating it.
Yeah.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's crazy.
Well, it's just so misplaced because we're giving away essentially our sovereignty, inviting ourselves to a war with our most important trading partner who poses no threat to Australia itself.
Yeah, and
so
go on.
Yeah, so again, we're accepting enormous risks for no real benefit. other than it makes our political class feel comfortable because, you know, we have the great power protector and we don't have to figure out how to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
And one of the things I outline in my book, The Big Fix, is I outline a way for Australia to defend itself. And it's not difficult. All the technology we need already exists.
Mm-hmm.
So the hardest part is changing our culture. And our culture is we look to the Americans. And we have to, you know, realize that it's time to grow up and look to ourselves.
Yeah, and really even just looking at history as you started this interview with, describing how we've gone along with the US in the past, even before AUKUS, but the US, of course, is serving its own interests. It's not serving Australian interests.
Yes, of course. And that's what. And I don't fault the Americans here because they've done what is in their own interest. AUKUS is a great deal for the Americans. And they were smart to do it, and we were dumb to do it.
Yeah. As I remember looking at why we're actually doing this, well, there's a history of it, but also from my memory going back to when Morrison surprised everyone with this idea of AUKUS, is it, for me, it's an example of putting political objectives before.
Oh, yes.
Before what's in the interests of the country. So it was like, I think it was to wedge Labor, and Labor then fell for
absolutely.
It 24 hours later, which how much we're paying all our taxes supposedly for expert research and policy. So I don't know where that money goes, but 24 hours later, Labor goes, well, you're not wedging us, we agree with you. Something like that.
Yes. Yes, this was all about Morrison seeking a political advantage against the Labor Party.
Mm.
And Labor decided to go along with it. And now it's become the defense policy. So, you know, we're stuck.
We have to get out of it. We're stuck, but we have to get out of it. So maybe you could continue telling us what you believe needs to be done.
Well, you know, if I was in charge, I would, you know, end AUKUS immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them we don't want the nuclear submarines. And then I would build an Australian defense force that is designed to defend Australia. Now, many of your listeners probably think the Australian exists to defend Australia. It does not. That is not the purpose of the Australian Defense Force. It is not organized or equipped or maintained to defend Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It exists to help the Americans. It is designed to help the Americans.
Gosh.
And our defense secretary, you know, Richard Marles, said this. He said he wants interchangeability, that an Australian force could just slip into the American organization, and an American force could come into Australia. We do not have a defense force designed to defend Australia. We have one that is designed to project power alongside the Americans. And I don't think we need to do that. We do not need an offensively organized defense force. We need one that is more narrowly focused solely for the defense of the country.
And
this would require, you know.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Sorry, no, you go on.
Well, and this is, you know, would not be difficult to do from a technological point of view, because all we need to do to defend the country is to protect our maritime approaches. And you can do that with land-based missiles, sea-based drones and underwater drones, and air-based missiles.
Mm.
And you can put up together a very robust defense that can keep a hostile force at a distance. And frankly, the odds of anybody coming to attack Australia are pretty remote.
Mm-hmm. I'm also wondering about, I don't know if this is your area, but it's definitely related to it, is what about putting resources into building peace and diplomacy?
Well, yes, and yes, I've written about this.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing we should be doing is invest in diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, China is a great power, and there's no military solution here. The United States can't defeat China.
Mm.
It's not possible, and China can't defeat America. Mm-hmm. They both could destroy the world, but they can't beat each other. Mm-hmm. So when you're faced with a military problem that doesn't have a military solution, you try something else, mm-hmm. and that's diplomacy. Mm-hmm. And we should be making diplomacy our number one effort. Defense should be secondary to DFAT. We should be investing in building relationships within the region. We should be building an understanding with China so that we can manage that properly. We should be building relationships with other middle powers, like the Prime Minister Carney of Canada has suggested, so that we have other options. Mm. Our military requirements should not be designed to defeat a great power, because we can only lose.
Yeah, wise words. We don't have much time for the program. I'm just wondering, Albert Palazzo, if there's anything listeners can do about this terrible AUKUS deal.
Well, at the moment, there's the that's been circulating Australia, and they're still seeking submissions. The Australian Peace and Security Forum has sponsored the AUKUS public inquiry. I'd urge your listeners to go online to the AUKUS public inquiry and prepare a submission explaining what you think our defense should be and explaining why you don't like AUKUS and that the government should change it. And like one of the things we haven't talked about is that, you know, if we do get these submarines by some miracle, we're going to have a nuclear dump for hundreds of thousands of years on Australian soil. And the government is just saying, oh, don't worry, the technology will solve it. Well, this is the liabilities that we're taking, the risks we're taking. I encourage people to contact the Australian Peace and Security Forum and write a submission.
Wonderful. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate submission. Anyone can write a submission.
No, it doesn't.
You can write a letter.
Yes,
so just people think they have to do a big report. You don't. Just write a letter as a citizen.
No. We want your opinion so that we can share them with the government.
Yeah. So thanks so much, Albert. Was there anything you very, very quickly wanted to add before we sign off?
Well, I just want to reiterate that AUKUS is the stupidest defense policy Australia has ever, and I've studied them all, has ever enacted. And there are much better things that we can be doing.
Thank you so much for putting that so succinctly. Thanks so much for coming on the program today and explaining what's wrong and short-sighted about the AUKUS deal. And it has been very helpful and clarifying, as well as appropriately alarming, I would say. And also thanks for letting us know we're not all helpless and there are things we can do to try to undo and go back on this terrible AUKUS deal with the US.
Yes. And thank you for letting me join you. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. And we will put all the links to your book and to that forum on our webpage. Thank you. So we are coming to the end of our program. I would like just to republicise the Red Lines Package campaign, which is asking Federal Parliament to review and pass a package of four bills. If enacted, the four bills will ensure that Australia doesn't fund, arm or invest in illegal settlements, war crimes or genocide anywhere in the world. And Jacques did an interview with the Red Lines Package campaign last week on that. And so contact your local federal MP or go to redlinespackage.com.au. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again today and to 3CR Radio, Community Radio. If you'd like to send any comments, email borderlandscooperative.net. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milkumana by King Stingray. Wanga,
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.